Are you ready? Coming on in, baby. Well, Lord Jesus, open the eyes of our hearts today. Open the eyes of our hearing, of our seeing, of our soul, of our mind, of our will. Let us not come to the table of the Lord already filled up with our own agenda, our own ideas, our own perceptions. Let us come to the table of the Lord hungry, ready to be fed by you, with our minds open to receive your perspective in your word. Let us not be like your word says when you spoke to your disciples and said, there's no room in your thoughts for me. Lord, let our thoughts never be so cluttered that there's no room for your word within them. Let our emotions and our will, our decisions and our agenda never be so cluttered by this life that we come into your house to hear your word. And really, we didn't come to hear it at all. We came with a closed mind and a closed heart and a closed spirit. Let that not be so, Lord, of us. Let that not be said of us. We come to learn. We come humbly with a contrite heart and spirit to receive from you. Lord, that the words of my mouth not be the words of flesh tonight, for they benefit your children nothing. But let the words of my mouth be the words of the Holy Spirit, for in that there is life and truth. Your word goes forth and it accomplishes exactly what you intended it to in the lives of each and every one of your children individually, perfectly and wholly. Do that tonight, Holy Spirit. The work that only you can do with your perfect word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your Bibles tonight. And had a word stirring in me for a couple of weeks now. I shared it with some of you a while back via text. And I just kind of sent you this passage of scripture, and I said, you know, we all need to ask the Lord to give us this type of a heart. And I'm going to read that passage of scripture to you tonight. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 13. I have two different versions up there right now. Right now I'm going to be reading from the New King James, verses 6 through 9. And this is Jesus, and he spoke of this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. So I had sent you this passage of scripture, and I said, you know, we need to have this type of heart. This type of heart that doesn't give up. This type of heart that is willing one more time to cast out our nets. That is willing one more time to tend to something that maybe we think is dead and long gone. We need to have that type of a heart. One of the things that you see about Jesus is that he was always about the purposes of life, not death. In fact, he said in his word, I have come that they might have life and that life more abundantly. He came and died so that we could have life. And he was always about the purposes of life. Just like you see, he shows his heart here. He reached out to people in the Bible that everybody else was happy to overlook. The ones that people didn't want to touch, the people that They just stepped right on by them. He noticed them. He stopped to touch the untouchable. He stopped to love the unlovable. He stopped to tell that those that everybody else said, let me just tell you how unworthy you are. He knelt down and grabbed him by the hand and said, let me tell you what. You are worthy. He believed in, he gave his life for the people that everybody else said was a lost cause. This is what he did. Those who were sick, depressed, oppressed, everybody else had thrown him out. Everybody else had made him sit outside even the dung gate and wouldn't even let them in the city gates. And yet Jesus was the one that was reaching out to those people. He never, ever looked at the odds. He always remained on purpose with the Lord's purpose in the Lord's heart, looking at the world and looking at the situation through the eyes of his Father, not at the odds. When we read this passage, one of the things we see is we see two very different hearts represented here. We see the heart of the keeper of the tree, and then we see the heart of the owner of the tree. The owner wanted to see results. He wanted to see results. The innkeeper, or the not the innkeeper, but the keeper of the tree, was willing to work to see results. My question to you is, which one are you more like tonight? Are you more like the owner? I just want to see results. And I'm mad because I'm not seeing them. Are you looking to see results? Are you looking? Where's the fruit? Are you mad because the fruit isn't there? Are you just standing around every day watching, going, when is there going to be fruit? When is there going to be fruit? When is there going to be fruit? Or are you working in faith to see that come to pass? Which are you more like tonight? I want you to think about the areas of your life. And is there maybe an area in your life tonight where maybe Jesus is saying to you, I don't want you to curse it. I don't want you to cut it down. I want you to tend to it purposefully for one more year. You're ready to curse it. You're ready to cut it down. And Jesus is like, I don't want you to curse it. I don't want you to cut it down. I want you to be willing to tend it one more year. I want you to stop staring at it and watching for fruit. I want you to stop being angry because you don't see the fruit that you feel that you deserve. I want you to be willing to work it, and I want you to be willing to tend this thing in faith until you see fruit manifest again. Many of you have heard me talk about my lilac tree that was once very abundant, and then all of a sudden it stopped blooming. And for 7 years, it didn't bloom. Well, I take that back. For 6 years, it didn't bloom. And it's right in front of my front door. And I'd watch for it, and I'd look at it, and sometimes I'd even curse it. What is wrong with you? I didn't really do a lot to tend it. I really didn't do a lot to take care of it. But I did a lot of watching and a lot of expecting, and I had a lot of frustration. And I was ready to pull the thing up by the root, and then on the 7th year it bloomed. And the next year it bloomed even more. And I'm really glad this year that I didn't tear it up. I want you to look at something tonight. John 15. I'm going to be reading verses 8 through 16. Oh, they've got it up here. By this my Father is glorified. Okay, this is important, right? We want our Father to be glorified. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's. That's okay. You're fine. It's all right. I can look it up here too. Hang on. I will just read it. verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I have commanded you, that you love one another. Go and bear fruit, is what he says. One of the things about fruit is that fruit doesn't appear as someone watches it. See, the owner, he just watched for fruit. He was just looking for fruit. He wasn't attempting to grow that. That's what the keeper of the vine was doing. He was willing to tend that thing. Fruit doesn't just appear as someone watches for it. If you take a seed and you put it in the ground and you just stand there and watch and watch and watch and watch, a lot of years could go by and you may never see a thing. If you had a seed in your hand, it will never manifest any fruit if all you do is hold it and watch it or curse at it. You're actually going to have to tend it. You're actually going to have to do something with it. It's only going to become something more by you tending to it. The same thing is true of fruit. Fruit is grown. And it's grown by patience, and it's grown by on-purpose effort. So whatever this area is of your life right now, where Jesus is saying to you, stop cursing it, and stop just standing there staring at it, being mad that there's no fruit on it, and stop threatening to cut it down, or just walk away from it, and be willing to tend it. Be willing to tend it. When you look at what Jesus told his disciples to do and what he has called us to do, he never called us or sent us out to be watchers of the fruit or to run around and be watchers for fruit. We're called and we are sent to bear fruit and to help others do the same. That's what we're supposed to be doing. He did say in his word that you can tell a false prophet by its fruit. He said that you can tell a bad tree by their fruit. But he didn't say that we were all supposed to make a profession out of it. Amen. Which is what some people do. For something to bear fruit, it is going to require you to do more than watching it, analyzing it, or criticizing it. You're actually going to have to begin to be like the keeper of the vine, and you're going to have to begin tending to that thing. Here's one of the things that it takes for something to bear fruit. I want you to think about these things in this area of your life right now that looks dead to you. I don't know what area it may be, but you look at it and you're just like, I haven't seen any fruit. You just curse it. Or you just stand there and you watch and watch and watch and get madder and madder and more convinced that you should just cut that thing down because you don't see the fruit or the investment that you wanted. The first thing you have to have is it's going to take some vision for life. You want to see fruit, you're going to have some vision for life, not just for death. And this is what happens sometimes. All you see is the death. Some of you have heard me talk about my grandma before. My grandma was, she had one of those old-time dressers, the big wide top things, and the whole top of her dresser was filled with dead cactuses. And one day I went in and I asked her, I said, Grandma, why do you have all of these dead cactuses? They're so ugly. And she said, they're not dead. And I said, well, they look dead, Grandma. And she said, they're not dead. They just need someone to take care of them. And if I don't take care of them, who will? Then they will die. And so she would go into the grocery store and the nurseries and she'd buy all the dead plants. And then she would sit there and tend to them until she brought them all back to life. And I've never forgotten that. But it's so much easier to walk past that dead thing, like this one. Somebody gave this to me. And I had it a couple of days, and it was doing really good, and now it's not doing so good anymore. But if I tend to it, it will do good. But if we had a choice, and we could have this plant, or we could have this plant, Almost all of us would take this one home. Why? Because there's no work to it. It already looks beautiful. It always looks wonderful. It already has all its beautiful fruit and blossoms on the vine, and all I have to do is the hope that I don't kill it. Versus like my grandma, to be able, that's easy to see life. It takes faith to see life here. See, the owner came and looked at that thing, and he didn't see any life, and he cursed it and said, cut it down. The innkeeper saw something radically different. The vine keeper, what he saw was the potential for life. You've got to be able to see life even in the midst of an apparent dead place, or you'll never see fruit. Again, the owner, he saw death. The keeper saw the potential for life. What do you see? What kind of vision do you have anymore? Do you just see dead things? Or do you have eyes of faith, and can you see life? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. You walk by sight, you'll see death. You walk by faith, you can see life in the midst of apparent death in any and every situation. The second thing you have to have in order to bear fruit, you have to have a desire for life. Not only do you have to have a vision for life, you have to have a desire for life. You must desire life more than death. Some people are more fascinated with death than life. Pay attention to what they watch on TV. Pay attention to what they say. Pay attention to what they listen to. Some people actually are more fascinated with and given over to death than to life. Some people are truly more given over to death. Death is an easier thought to them than life. If you've ever been through a really, really, really hard time, you can give yourself over to this thought. Death is easier. Let's just die and go home. We'll just go be with Jesus. I don't have to do any of this anymore. I don't have to worry about any of this stuff anymore. And it's easier sometimes to just see death, think about death, and give over to death, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your ministry, whether it's your business, whether it's your emotions, whether it's your children, whatever it is. It's easier to just say, forget it, it's done, it's over with, curse it, and let's just walk away, than it is to prepare and entertain the thought of life. Because if I prepare and entertain the thought of life, there's work involved in that. Do you know there's work involved in living? There's a lot of work involved in living. There is very little work involved in dying. And that's why people get over it. Death is an easy end, and life requires us to carry on. In Psalm 118:17, I shall not die but live and declare the works of God. Amen. That's what the keeper said. You see death, I'm going to declare life. Give me a year and I'll show you. And I'm just not going to stand there and declare and scream life at this thing. I'm actually going to, on purpose, tend to it, because I know what it takes to bear fruit, and I'm going to tend to it. And I'm not just going to watch for fruit, and I'm just not going to scream at it. I'm actually going to tend to it. Watch and see what happens. In Ecclesiastes 6:18, the Bible talks about this, and when you're in a bad place, this is not a fun scripture. However, this is a good way to check yourself to find out, have I given myself over to death? Nope, it's not 6:18. I think it's 5. Hold on, let me find it real quick here. 5:18. Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him. In many different places in Ecclesiastes, it talks about the fact that enjoying life in 3:13, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil, this is the gift of God. When we're given over unto death, we don't find much fun in this life. We complain a lot and we just want to die. If you're going to bear fruit and you're going to help others bear fruit and you're going to be able to do like my grandma did and pick up dead things and believe for life, then you're going to have a desire for life, a vision for life, and you're going to have a willingness to work. You're just going to have to work, not just watch and curse. That's an easy job. That's not hard at all. Again, the owner was the watcher and the curser. And the keeper was the willing worker. And you have to ask yourself, which have I been lately? Am I just the analyzer of the fruit or the fruit that's not there? Or am I willing to work? We've got to get past being mad. If there's an area of your life where you're not seeing the fruit that you think should be there, maybe the fruit that was once there, whatever it is, you've got to get past that state that we all get into of I'm just mad. I'm just mad that it's in the state that it's in. I'm just mad that it's still in the state that it's in. I'm just mad because I worked far too hard for it to end up in this state. I'm just mad because you're not doing what I've prayed you should do, fasted you should do, worked for you should do. It's not looking like it should after everything that I did, and I'm just mad, and all I'm just going to do is curse it. You got to get way past that. And you've got to stop addressing the problem, and you got to start putting on purpose effort toward the solution, which is fruit. It's really that simple. You can spend all day addressing the problem, or you can get busy and start being a part of the solution, which is bearing fruit. Stop whining about the results that I don't see. Stop watching and start working for the results that you know by faith. By everything that you believe, think all things are possible to them that believe. With man, this may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You've got to get to that place one more time. And then when you get to that place, the vine that was purposed to bear fruit, it'll begin to bear fruit. It will begin to. It simply needs help to accomplish it. The vine was purposed to bear fruit, right? An apple tree is purposed to bear apples. Typically, it needs help to accomplish it. Right? Whatever this thing is right now that you got going on in your life, that God's saying, I want you to tend it one more year. I want you to stop watching and analyzing and micromanaging the problems and all that kind of nonsense. And I want you to work and watch what I'll do. Watch what your faith and your effort plus my power and unlimited abilities can accomplish if you will but give yourself to work one more year. Like Nehemiah did. Like in Haggai, I'm going to read this one more time. Read this a couple of Sundays ago. Very clear instructions that God gave to us. And in Haggai 1, I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm just going to read in 2, 1 through 9 specifically was what he had specifically said to us to begin to do. I'm going to start down in verse 3. Who of you is now left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord. This is what I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations. The desired of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty, and the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what he said to us. It's time to work. It's time to do what I've called you to do. Now, if you go back and read 1, because he had us go back and read 1, the people said, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. And the word of the Lord came through the prophet, and he said, it is time. It is time for you to stop being worried about all your houses, and it's time for you to rebuild my house. I was talking to a young lady, and I said, if the people say one thing and God says another, who's right? If the people say it's not time to build and God says it's time to build, what do you think you're supposed to do? The owner said, it's as good as dead by looking at it. The keeper said, give me a year. Let me tend to it. If God says it's time, and give it time, and tend it, and be on purpose, then do it. He knows what he's talking about it. And a lot of people may look at that area of your life and they may go, well, it's too late and it's not going to work and I don't think you should do that. And they can say a lot of things. But if God has said to you, tend it, have faith, work it, then you've got to know the voice of the Lord and you've got to do it. And the last thing it takes is it takes patience for the fruit to manifest. You're going to have a little bit of patience. Fruit is not popcorn and it is not magic. And we wish it were both. We wish it would just pop and there it is. Or we could just go abracadabra and we could say some fancy prayers and we could get on our knees and fast a little bit and then walk out the next day and it's all good. And fruit is not like that. Fruit takes time. If you've ever watched a tree, first of all, usually it blooms. You get something that looks altogether nothing like fruit. In fact, it looks like a flower. And then it buds. And then it grows. And then after it grows, it still even has to mature. It takes time and it takes patience. You're going to see signs of it along the way. But then you've got to be patient and you've got to keep nurturing it. And you've got to wait for it to mature and you've got to keep working it. Not getting frustrated because it didn't mature quick enough. Not getting frustrated because it didn't bloom fast enough. Because I've put 3 months into this by now and nothing has changed. He said, give me a year. Let me tend to it. Let me work. And then let's see what happens. So that's what I want to ask you to do today. Is there an area of your life where you've been really busy cursing it? Threatening to cut it down? Certain that there's not enough fruit for you to remain or to allow it to remain. And maybe he's knocking on the door of your heart. And he's going, will you give it one more year? And will you give it one more year, not just standing there staring at it, preaching at it, analyzing it, being frustrated by the lack of fruit you see? Or maybe you see fruit, but it's not the fruit you want to see. And will you get some vision? Will you have some faith? Will you have a desire for life? Will you put your hands to it? Will you have some patience? And will you let me be glorified? Because when something goes from death to life, do you know who gets the glory? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because he is the only one that can take something from death to life. Only God could have helped Nehemiah to do what everybody else walked away from, which was see the walls rebuilt. And they knew that. By the time they worked, by the time they got done, they said, surely this was God. Surely this was God. Amen? So be like Jesus. Okay? Don't be so quick to call things as dead. Trust me, if it's supposed to be dead, you won't be able to bring it to life. I'm just going to say. But just because it looks dead doesn't mean that God still hasn't purposed life in it. So if he's told you, there's still life here. Trust him and start tending it and see what might happen a year from now. Amen. Father God, help us. In a world where death screams so loudly, in music, in lyrics, in poetry, in impatience, in the microwave popcorn society that we live in, help us, Father God, to not see through eyes of the flesh, but to see with eyes of the Spirit. Let us not be like the owner that we read about in this word, who wasn't willing to work for life, but just wanted to stand back and be angry that the results that it was looking for wasn't there. That the fruit wasn't doing what he wanted it to do, expected it to do. So he was just going to curse it or cut it down. Help us to have a heart like you, Jesus. A heart of life, a vision for life, a passion for life. The energy, the zeal, and the commitment to work for life. The patience to allow life to grow like a baby and mature over time. Help us, Lord, to be like you. Not quitters, but followers of the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, amen.